if you surrender to God, you don't want to surrender to them.
Correct.
So their whole plan is control. So they go, we have to smash anything that has to do with God, who people would be willing to allow to have control over them. So we have to pollute the religions. We have to contaminate all the priests and the friars and gurus and everything all over the planet so that they'll go, ah, religion's a farce. Religion doesn't matter. And then they'll sit back and we will control their mind while they sleep with electrofrequencies that bombards their mind and their entire being such that they can't make a connection with nature and they can't make a connection with God. And then we have them. This is what you're identifying, that we are now seeing the effect of their plan on us, on our neighbors, on our society.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Waikato, I have Roy Harlow of rushfm.co.nz. And today we're wanting to talk about Agenda 21 and also Agenda 2030. Now, since Agenda 21 was signed by 178 countries at the Earth Summit, UNOVA 1, the United Nations Conference on the Environment and Development held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil in 1992. And it's been overseen by the United Nations and other multilateral organizations and individual governments around the planet that can be enacted at local, national, and global level. So this Agenda 21 and now the 2030 is something that is working its way through society as we speak. So essentially, it's looking at the Earth and the whole biosphere to see what measures can be taken to stop pollution, the destruction of habitat, and halting of species extinction, and the uncontrolled exploitation and extraction of non-renewable resources everywhere, and the rampant use now of biotechnology and radioactive waste. Also, who could argue that these need to be addressed for our children and grandchildren's future? And this agenda also focuses on population growth, poverty, health, the disenfranchisement of the poor, indigenous peoples, women, NGOs and their place in this agenda, plus multinational corporations, farmers and communities from villages all the way up now to what we call super cities of the world. And finally, where does science fit into this mix? So, I mean, it's a huge agenda, this Agenda 21, and there are so many things in it, Roy, that in many ways I feel, yes, we need to address these. So first, kia ora, thank you for wanting to share with New Zealanders and the planet at large.
Well, thanks, Tim. It's always good to be on your show. We always tend to take these things apart. So let's do it. First of all, I just want to say about this, it's on the surface, it looks very good. But it goes much deeper, and the point that's got to be understood for anybody who wants to look at Agenda 21, it is an on-purpose designed deception. What they say they're doing, nobody can complain. But what they're actually planning and what it means when you understand their point of view and their goals, you see that it's completely different than the catchphrases they're using when they bring it forward to the people's attention.
Okay. So what is the main one that you want to start off with, seeing there's many sections to this?
Oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, let me think about that. Okay, all right. I think that the ones that people are caring about and hearing about when they think of Agenda 21 is the issue of sustainability. They're looking at sustainable management of water, sanitation, sustainable energy resources, the sustained promotion of economic growth. All over in here, they're putting sustainable. But that's always an interpretation in the sense that, well, what I think is sustainable to me and my lifestyle, it may not be to someone else's. And similarly, someone else's may not be to me. So they're using a catchphrase, and they've created this, sustainable and modern energy for all. Well, what does that mean? And they're doing this repeatedly in all of the goals that they have set out. They're using the word sustainable because nobody can complain about that word. But what it actually means is quite different. I mean, let's take a look at the energy side of it, because that's a significant one. They want to penalize coal, and they want to penalize gas and oil, and they're trying to push green energies. And they're giving subsidies for these startups and all these things that they believe will work, but it won't. From an energy point of view, you cannot substitute coal, gas, and oil with the other technologies we have available. So we recognize that in the background, they have been suppressing technology. The American Patent Office has almost 6,000 energy patents that are being suppressed and not allowed to the people. There is technology that we could replace gas and oil and coal, but we cannot do it with what they say is the green energy subsidies like solar and wind. It can't be done that way. So they're leading us into a concept where we say, oh, sustainable alternative to fossil fuels. Well, that means solar and wind and a few things, maybe tidal, a variety of things. It sounds so very good, but they're not it. They're dead end. They can't do it. That the real method of getting it done, they're suppressing it.
Thank you.
So it's a misleading cycle, and all the way through the Agenda 21 documents, it's that continuation. They use catchphrases, and I'm talking about sustainable right now, and they're using these to lure you into agreement, but it's a trap because they're actually controlling the cards in the background.
Now, thank you, because there are energies around. There are the so-called free energy systems now that are breaking through.
Definitely. There's hundreds and hundreds of them.
That's right, and I mean, Foster Gamble in the Thrive movie.
Yes.
Showed very clearly that the challenges we've got in breaking out of this oil fossil fuel thing, and we can actually do it. And so, yes, can you please expand on that? Because we are...
Well, the issue is this, okay? It is possible to achieve energy more out than you put in. It's possible. Now, they've tried to say, oh, that's the perpetual motion machine, and they demonized all sorts of things. But from a physics point of view, it is possible. There isn't anything that stops it. The whole universe is structured as an over-unity device.
Yes.
The sun continues to put out endless amounts. How can that be? So the whole science and the physics of it is there.
I agree. I mean, when does an electron start going around the nucleus of an atom, and when does it stop? It's just been doing it.
Well, that's right, and it's in balance doing it.
Yes.
And that's the point. They try to make you think that, oh, if you've got something in balance that's putting out energy and it's sustaining itself, oh, that's a perpetual motion. That's not possible. No, that is cosmic sustainability. It is most definitely possible. We are all actually experiencing it all the time.
That's correct. I agree. We've got stuff to work on. Carry on.
Well, it's all there in the sense that there are many scientists, there's many, many people with innovative brains that are coming up with desktop examples of how one can do it.
I agree.
You can read through the net and you can see it. Now, the problem is scalability. You can have an idea, but if you can't scale it big enough to be a useful source of energy, what is the value? And this is why someone who does do that, he goes and patents it, because he knows it's difficult to find that unique combination. And so they're sitting back in the patent office going, uh-oh, somebody else did it, Bob. Suppress this one.
That's it.
It's been happening for at least since the 1930s.
I agree. Well, you see, this is where Victor Schauberger, we talked about this even just last week, about how he was able to get an understanding, and he was dragged by Hitler to Berlin to sort out some sort of free energy system for the Nazis. So it goes on, and I just don't know how we're going to be able to get through other than to let people know that possibilities do exist. And so that's just one of the challenges around being given a substitute.
Well, okay, let me just say, they have over-unity energy devices.
I don't deny it.
They've been using them, and they have them for many years. I spoke with a university professor in Texas in 2006, and he said he had a backpack generator unit on his desk that he got at a surplus, Army surplus store in Texas. And the unit was a self-sustaining power system that could run a hut, a room, or a small setup, an office, or a field office. And he had it on his desk.
I actually saw a little video of one the other day, and it's a hush-hush unit, but boy, I'll tell you what, it wasn't on the web, but I saw it. And one of the biggest problems, of course, is that they throw the third law of thermodynamics at us all the time. It's in the universities, and the universities really, I mean, all they are is a conditioning system for humanity so that we'll, in the end, basically become quite homogenous.
Well, they've cheated science, and they've cheated mathematics, they've cheated chemistry, they've cheated physics, they've cheated all of it. It has been cheated since I went to school, you went to school, anybody who's listening went to school. They've cheated all the way along. They know. I mean, I'll give you an example, and that is, what do you or anybody you have ever met know about magnetism?
Well, I put two magnets together, and they click like that. And then, and then I put two magnets of the opposite, and they push my hands apart.
And that's where it ends. But that magnetism is a doorway into a complete realm of actions and reactions and forces and energies and resultants. It's a complete science. You go through the doorway of magnetism, and it's a complete science. It works into gravity, and it works into electricity. It works into generation. A whole series of things are through the door of magnetism, and yet it's not taught.
Well, we keep away from that one. We're repelled by it. It's interesting because, again, Nikola Tesla, and I repeat this constantly, Roy, because we need to. He said when humanity starts researching the invisible, they will learn more after 10 years than we have learnt in the last 10,000 years of our evolution.
I think that's an interesting point because humanity is being killed by the invisible forces right now. They are so unaware of the intense, unbelievable options, potentials, and potencies in the invisible realm. And they're not trained in it on purpose. And therefore, they don't realize that many of the things they think are toys are actually weapons. And Tesla's point of view was, study it, learn it. It's like everything else in the universe. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad.
That's where we're at the moment. And
Because they have suppressed our access to it, and they have advanced it and developed it. Many things now. We're not talking about just magnetism or just energy. Many things. And they've advanced it way beyond our imagination, shall we say, because they've limited our exposure to it. We don't understand. But they're using it against us. And Agenda 21 is exactly that. Inside of these nice goals and the catchphrases that they say, behind it is the use of all of their advantages against us.
I hear you. I mean, we're not even going to touch 5G wireless, but I can assure you it's one of the major ones that's coming forward at the moment. So, Roy, can we...
Well, it's only an extension of what's already here. I mean, microwaves is not good for humans. End of story. I don't care what level, what frequency, what intensity. No level of microwave is good for the human being.
Agreed.
So we've been submerged in this for a long time. Now we got Wi-Fi all over us. Now we're carrying phones all over us. We got satellites following us. There are so many different things that are impacting our life on the invisible platform of vibratory and frequency impact on our consciousness and our health.
Agreed, and we haven't yet even touched on the Fukushima disaster belching radiation out into the Pacific
Ocean.
Well, that
was back to Russell, Walter Russell.
Okay.
Walter Russell did a book, and it was called, I can't remember what it was called, something about atomic something. And he showed you in that, he was a great physicist, and in that book he showed you that nuclear energy is wrong. And you cannot, you should not use it, employ it, play with it, have it, consider it useful. It is a danger at every level that it's used.
Agreed.
Now, from a physics point of view, I'll give an insert here. Russell's contention is that, as you said a moment ago, the electron, the neutron, the balance is going on inside the atom, la, 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 la. It can be frustrated. It can be stopped by nuclear energy, radioactivity. And he's saying that the dismemberment, I think the better word is disassociation, of matter in general can be induced by radioactivity.
Yes.
And that your body would come apart, the table would come apart, the atmosphere would come apart. It takes apart the centrifugal force balance that's in the atom. It hits it and affects it in such a way that matter disassociates.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a student of mathematics, you have integrated and you have differentiation. And the differentiation side of mathematics is what he's talking about. It applies on all level of physics, mathematics, chemistry, and science. And nuclear energy should never be employed. It should never be played with. It should be completely avoided. It should be against the law. It should be something we never do because it will disassociate our reality.
Yes, well, very good, because I had a look at Walter Russell last week, actually, and his wife, Tao.
Yes.
And she was involved with producing this book with him to give a pushback. A very special man who's been totally ignored, like Nikola Tesla. So
yes.
Walter
they
Russell.
They know each other.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. I had a quote somewhere here. I just can't find it at the moment between Russell and what Nikola Tesla thought. So can we just go back and again move through from the invisibles that we find in the Agenda 21 and 2030 documents? Can we look at some of the other things, Roy, that, because most people here in New Zealand just have no idea whatsoever. The environmental people have no understanding.
Because, okay, I'd like to go back to what your intro was, and you said that it was done in 92 at the Rio convention when all these nations signed the beginning of Agenda 21.
Now, yeah, can I just cut in? This was done by George Bush Senior.
Senior, yes.
And he was ex-CIA for so many years. He was the top dog.
Yeah, he initiated it.
Yeah.
But do you know that Mayor Margaret Evans of Hamilton adopted it and signed it with the United Nations and made Hamilton a model city for Agenda 21? And they have been changing, altering, controlling Hamilton since that time from the United Nations.
So they're the pioneer city of New Zealand, correct?
It's model. They're the example city. Now, also signing that was Waitakere.
Okay.
And I can't remember who that was under.
Bob Harvey.
Yes. I can see his face, so yes. That's right. That's who it is. And they were lured by the wording, by the catchphrases. They were lured into this as being something good. But look at the result. We have Hamilton as a town. There's no four-lane roads. They got crosswalks. They got traffic lights. They got islands in the middle. We used to call her Margaret Island because she put so many islands in the road and restricted parking and made everything transport. There's no four-lane roads. You can't get across it. They're just putting in a ring road, which they're trying to finish right now, so they can control the ring around you, but you still can't get in and out. And you can't travel across it in a four-lane fashion. And they continue to do that. This is happening globally. This is Agenda 21. They slow down our ability to be productive humans.
Well, I know that going south now, I just don't want to go anywhere near Hamilton. I'll just go on the motorway straight past it.
Everybody wants to do that. But you see, Transit New Zealand is controlled by them. And Transit is they're not taking anybody with any intelligence would start in Auckland and make their four-lane road and head south and go and go and go and go and go until you hit Wellington. And they don't do that. They piecemeal a piece here and a piece there and a piece here and a piece there. They take that back out. They put a new one in. They keep it so there's never the flow through of a completed highway available to the people.
And that's also available to industry because you have milk tankers, you have extractive industry, you have logging trucks, extractive industry,
That's part of Agenda 21. See, Agenda 21 makes it that's not legal, it's not encouraged, it's not allowed to buy local. Our best food is not eaten by you and I. It's exported. And that's true of every nation that's under the control of the globalist governments. They export the food and import somebody else's food. Why? Because they get to clip the ticket, and they get to control the food chain, and they get to accelerate the prices. If we didn't sell our food overseas, if we used as much of it as we wanted and sold the balance, they wouldn't have control over our food chain.
I hear you. I know. I see different cheeses going between Holland and England, and they're the same type of cheese, but they're just swapping them across the English Channel.
That's right.
But worse, I'm going into the supermarket here today, and I am seeing second or third grade food, and I look at it, and if you go to UK, go to the supermarket there, and you think, gosh, these apples are nice. Gosh, these kiwi fruit have got no blemishes. All this food is so good.
The stuff that we make goes out.
That's right. And no kiwis ask this. They're not questioning anything.
This is down to the other side of Agenda 21, and that is to dumb the people down so they become subservient.
They've been homogenized.
Yes, marginalized.
As well, yes. So this is a huge challenge here because you don't really hear who's in government who wants to talk about this. Nobody.
Well, the point is that the government officials that we get to choose from to elect are just as much victims as you and I.
Thank you.
They're drinking crummy water. Their food chain has been altered. They are being impacted by Wi-Fi and a variety of other invisibles. They're just as susceptible to the deception as you and I. They have to be very special and very focused individuals who protect themselves from all of this to be able to stand up to it.
I hear you. I hear you very clearly. I mean, if I was the Prime Minister, I would have a naturopath, and I would have a massage therapist, and I would have a number of real holistic health professionals advising them all the time.
Yeah, but that's not happening. I don't even want to talk about our Prime Minister. I don't want to go there.
Okay.
I got a few things to say about that, but I don't want to do it.
Okay. Yes, there's another 4.75 and 4.75 million people to choose from anyway.
Yeah.
Rapidly increasing, too.
So listen to this one. This is goal number 11 from Agenda 2030. Make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Now, that can mean a lot, okay? But let's break it down, all right? It means ban all gun ownership of private citizens. It means concentrate the guns into the hands of the obedient government officers. And it means to enslave the class of people as impoverished, right? It means criminalize living in rural areas and institute protected areas where the government claims that it's owned by the people, but they don't allow people to live there. Force the humans into densely populated, tightly packed, controlled cities where they're under surveillance 24/7 and they're subject to easy manipulation by the government.
This is one that I have a bit of difficulty because really we need to be able to go out into nature to replenish our being. We need to regenerate.
Definitely.
who we are
of the earth. She is our mother and we are in harmony with her, and cities restrict us. I mean, this is just another aspect of the invisible attack. They have vibration rates that are so loud, so intense, so predominant everywhere you go that our normal psychic balance relative to Mother Earth is interrupted almost all day.
Well, it is. And it's coming through even on the interview. I can see I'm getting a bit of static on the recording, Roy. It's still okay, but just when you spoke about it, I got static. So here you go. It's coming through on so many levels.
Well, they have AI listening to everybody, and AI is trained, or programmed, actually, to stifle, suppress any trick it wants to use to keep anybody talking about methods or ideas averse to this government plan.
I hear you.
And we see it in everything we do. The television won't tell you the truth. The radio stations are all childish. The newspapers and the magazines are all owned by one group. They won't allow anything. All this fiasco around what happened in Christchurch. You don't get to look at this. Well, why not? Why are they punishing the people? Why are they restricting access to the facts? Why is all this sort of stuff going on? Because the control is the game. Their concern is control. They'll say these things, these catchphrases, they say these things to disarm you. But the intent, the agenda is still the same. Control of the masses to keep them in subservient, easy-to-control situation.
And if you're giving them poor quality food, our brain and our body requires fresh, vital, nutrient-dense, organic food so that we can then make the correct decisions. But if we're having homogenized stuff from a packet with added water, put in a plastic container, put in a microwave oven, and then we eat that thinking that we're getting healthy, then, I mean, our whole body health is just going to deteriorate. And
That's so right. So
the challenge is for people is to grow their own food in their own backyard, and we can only trust that we have got a backyard. Or if we've got a patio, we've still got to grow food on the patio to make sure that we are eating greens and vital food that has got life force.
That's right. And that's exactly what they do, is they remove the life force from it. This is why food that's brought into the country is radiated.
Well, this is...
They bring food in and say, oh, we're trying to stop disease. No, you're not. You're trying to stop nutrition. And they radiate the food and stop the nutrition coming in with the food. You're eating the shell. You're eating, it's like eating the husk and not the rice. Even though it's rice, but it's been nuked. It's been irradiated. It's where the vitality, the life force energy, the prana, the chi is taken out.
Well, I've been outside the irradiation plant in Caboolture in northern Brisbane and had a look at this particular building or set of buildings where all these things like mangoes come in there and they get bombarded. I think it was cesium 137, I think it is. And then we...
Cesium, yeah.
Yep, we get this. And
yes.
I know that
and
there's...
And you ingest it and it stays in your body.
Well, you see, there's a small sign, little sticker on the fruit. But who's reading the fruit now? Read stickers. This is an important
issue. Those of us
issue.
That are waking up, the housewife who cares about her children, the father who cares about his family, the people who don't want to sell contaminated food, they're all reading the labels, and they've been doing it for a long time, and that's why they're making the labels less and less clear. They code it. They don't tell you. They code it. They don't include everything in it. They code it. And they're keeping us from having the rights to make an informed decision. I mean, we know the label GMO movement has been fighting for 15, 20 years since GMOs hit the market. Label it. If you want to GMO it, label it, and they won't do it.
That's right. Well, you see, what we need is an app on a phone that you just point the phone at the label, and boom, up it comes and it tells you what it is. Very simple.
They still won't. Then they'll stop putting it on the label. There is an endless trickery game. We are under a control of a group, of a mentality of a group, that is deceptive at every step. They have no intention of telling the truth. They have no intention of letting us know what's going on. They want to keep us out of awareness of the trickery and their ultimate plan, which is depopulation.
Okay, you said a big word there, depopulation. I mean,
well, it's the Agenda 21. I mean, we're talking about Agenda 21 as a United Nations policy. Well, so is depopulation. It's coming right out of the United Nations.
The Georgia Stones, these three...
Georgia Guildstones.
Yeah.
Yes.
That mentions that of all the things...
Sustainable population level of 500 million.
That's right. So it's a reminder out there, and nobody knows much about it. It stands out like the proverbial.
Well, the point... I don't care about it. The reality is... We need to understand that the fertility of the earth is what's being attacked. The earth has the capacity to support 100 times the population we have. I mean, we know from science, we know from studies, we know from resources that if you stop eating meat, if you stop killing the animals, you can feed 10 times as many people. That's scientifically proven.
Okay.
So that's 10 times the amount of people.
Yes.
Well, there's fertility. I mean, the Chinese have worked out a new way to make deserts fertile. And they're propagating that in their own country. Under a month, a sandy desert can become fertile and will accept growing food.
Look, there's...
The planet can sustain a huge quantity of people. That's not the problem. That's the excuse. That's the catchphrase. And people are being able to... They're thinking, oh, we have a major population problem. No, we don't.
Well,
Mother Earth is completely fertile, completely supportive, completely benevolent. And yet we're just allowing these people who are running the world to stomp on her and pollute her and contaminate her with senseless things.
It's about distribution of food and how to actually get that food to market. I mean, here we are in New Zealand. We send all our high-quality food past Somalia through the Suez Canal so we can sell it for a high price in the organic supermarket, say, in Germany. And yet we're passing millions and millions and millions of people who are starving in the Horn of Africa. There is a lot of inconsistencies, isn't there?
Well, it's not inconsistencies. It's very consistent to the depopulation plan.
Okay.
So to you and I, as normal human beings who care to do good to our brother man, it seems inconsistencies. But to someone else who has the plan to get rid of as many humans as you possibly can, it all makes sense to them.
Yes, I agree with you there, too. I mean, we have to...
I mean, we are intelligent human beings. We are supposedly educated. We have control over the natural resources. We are the dominating species. Then why, I ask you, why is anybody in our home, Mother Earth, why is anybody hungry?
That's the big question of the age, to be perfectly frank, because...
It's because there's a plan, and they're controlling things. They're forwarding their plan, always, constantly pushing... Silently, in the background, invisibly, depopulation, depopulation. That's what's going on. All the intelligent people are going, why does this happen? It's just the same thing that's happening with a disaster. We all give to the Red Cross or to this, that, or the other group or organizations who's going to go in there and give them what they need to rebuild, and it never happens. They don't rebuild.
Haiti
and if
is
they
an
do
example.
Go in to rebuild, they don't rebuild your house, your restaurant, your farm. They bring in big corporates and they take over everything and you just have to walk off.
Yes, well, Haiti is an example of a country that went through an earthquake and then the big money came in and then nothing really happened. And so I do
the
agree...
The big money never got there. Oh. They stole it. The illegal side of the government stole it and they've used it for terrible things. They harvested children out of there. They harvested women out of there. They left these poor people to suffer. And we, as human beings, we donated everything we could to help the poor people, and it didn't get there.
I'm speaking with Roy Harlow of rushfm.co.nz. Okay.
And that's the part of the depopulation. Every time there's a tragedy, every time there's a disaster, every time the help resources don't get there to make it better.
Roy, the listeners to this program are going to turn around and say, well, Tim, why don't you ask, who are they? Are you able to, or do you want to, say
well,
who they are?
Yes, I do want to. We have a non-governmental, non-territorial group that is acting as a deep state behind all of the governments. Behind all of the elected people, there is a group of powerful people that are orientated into the money control, the food control, the energy control of our planet and information control, excuse me. And they are keeping those subjects under their control so that their agenda, which is depopulation, and this Agenda 21 and 2030, is all to maintain their control method. And they lie, they cheat, they deceive, they kill, they do everything and anything they want. They have no moral compass. And what we're facing is humanity is waking up to the fact that no matter how much good I try to do, it never makes it better. Well, why? Because somebody else is working in the opposite direction who has much more resources than we do.
Yes, and not only that, they are controlling all the nodal points. They've got gatekeepers on all levels of government and business. And so even if I write a letter, it'll go to someone further up, and then finally we don't get a reply, or you'll get...
And now they're getting so aggressive, and they're getting so arrogant, and they are so disdained by humans that if you write a letter and say, we should feed all the people on the planet, why don't we make a program to do that, they'll investigate you.
I hear you.
They'll go, uh-oh, here's one who has an open heart. Here's one who sees he is a brother to all men. Here's one who wants to do good to others. Oh, we can't have that, because that's a method of control that's opposite to our method of control. We must stifle it.
Well, here we are, Roy, with explaining this to our listeners, and I trust that listeners are good enough to want to share this program. New Zealanders, for some unknown reason, have a reticence to want to network information. The imperative is, if we're going to take our planet back for our children and grandchildren, and for all biota, and your pet cat sitting in the house, and your pet dog, which you all love, then we have to actually start to make a big shift in an orientation in how thinking and take action.
Well, I'll give you that very quickly, and that is simple, all right? This is not about our kids and our grandkids in the future. This is about our tomorrow. This is that close. This is that urgent. We are the ones that have been lured into a passive existence of convenience. We are the ones who are their target. It isn't the next generation. They're already maiming them with vaccines and drugs of their own creation. They're already controlling their food and water and so forth. They're concerned about you and me and everybody else who's waking up to the fact that they are attacking us with invisible weapons daily. This is not about something that is going to come about. This is about self-defense, the God-given right to defend yourself. That's all the people have to wake up to.
Okay. Yes, well, I mean, there's another side of a coin. A lot of humanity, particularly in New Zealand, they have been beaten down to the degree that they've become insensitive to the fact that we are souls living in bodies, that we actually have a connection to God, but we have, in many ways, we've lobotomized God and soul out of the vernacular, out of our vocabulary today, and this is to our major detriment. Yes, to right.
Yes, because if you surrender to God, you don't want to surrender to them.
Correct.
So their whole plan is control. So they go, we have to smash anything that has to do with God, who people would be willing to allow to have control over them. So we have to pollute the religions. We have to contaminate all the priests and the friars and gurus and everything all over the planet, so that they'll go, ah, religion's a farce. Religion doesn't matter. And then they'll sit back and we will control their mind while they sleep with electrofrequencies that bombards their mind and their entire being such that they can't make a connection with nature and they can't make a connection with God. And then we have them. This is what you're identifying, that we are now seeing the effect of their plan on us, on our neighbors, on our society.
Agreed. In my meditation every day, I ask that humanity recognizes and remembers that we are spiritual beings having an earth experience.
Yes. We are eternal living entities that take temporary bodies to experience and learn. And we have been tricked by the media to make everybody think that to enjoy is the goal of life and you don't have any duty. But we do all have a duty. We are all created for a specific, unique purpose and duty in life, and we're supposed to find it. We grow up, we get educated, we look, we feel within our heart, we look at our capacities, our capabilities, and we're supposed to find what is my duty in life, and then we live it in happiness, we live it in peace, we live it in contribution, in selflessness. And they are frustrating that mentality. Don't be selfless. Grab all you can scramble for. Take, fight, suppress anybody else to get your enjoyment.
That's right. Well, you see, with kiddies I talk to, I say to them, do you know what the purpose for existence is? And I say, no. And I say, the purpose for existence is to find out the purpose for existence. And they think, And I said that one morning to a young teenager, and I caught her at 4 o'clock that afternoon, And I said, well, do you know what? She said, I've been asking that question of myself all day. You see, and we live in the middle of infinity and eternity, and we have forgotten that.
Well, I think that's part of what we're awakening to. We're awakening, first of all, to the fact that I'm not satisfied with what they're giving me as the goal of life, or as my position in society, or my contribution to reality. I'm not satisfied. I'm not being the best person I am. I'm not full of energy and distribution of love and consciousness and support and assistance. I'm not doing that. And so I feel a level of anxiety within. And the people are waking up. What is the cause of my anxiety? And they're finding that all of this stuff we're talking about, that there's a control mechanism, a non-human, a non-benevolent to human group that is trying to keep us from finding out we all share the same things. This is back to the concept. Hunger is painful no matter what race or creed or color or gender you are. Hunger is not right. It's not what we're supposed to be doing. There's no reason for it. Yet it's prevalent. And there's so many things in our society that we've accepted as the standard that are not good for us. And the people are waking up to that. That's what's going on. And if they see from the basic platform that the suffering is the same, whether it's you or it's me, the goal is the same, to be a selfless, kind, contributing human. I say all the time, a real human has a firm commitment to the truth, and he is compassionate. If you don't have those, you have been influenced by this group, this cabal, this evil that's predominating the planet. And they have no commitment to the truth, and they have no compassion.
Very, very true. It's a lack of connection to our family, our neighborhood, our community, and we need to be able to fire this up, because I spend a lot of time with kids, and I'm fortunate for that. And I see them 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age, and they're running around, and everything's just so wonderful for them because they haven't had time to question the bigger picture, and they haven't really seen the suffering, etc. And so they're just playing, and there's, oh, the sky is blue, and the water is out there, and they swim, and there's flowers and birds and puppy dogs, etc. And I talked to a number of his children, Roy, and I say to him, gosh, you know what? I like you. I like you because you're in a candle. Your candle inside is really, really bright. And I want you to be able to keep that bright light candle all the time. Can you do that for me? And they light up. They light up because they know that there's something inside them at soul level that says, a bright candle. Oh, okay, and light. And so they actually get it. And I'm reminding them of that. And I spend a little bit of time with older ones in their teens. And I say, look, you can look around and you see so many adults are just walking around aimless. They're cynical. I don't want you to become cynical. And one of the reasons could be is that they let their candle out. Well, we cannot allow our candle to go out. And this is one that I work with children all the time now, because it's one of the few pointers that I can actually communicate very quickly to kids. I mean, the other thing too, quickly, Roy, is that I see a lot of kids with Star Wars T-shirts on. I say, is the Force strong with you?
And well done.
And a lot of them, you'll see their chest rise. And I'll say, yes, it is strong with you. You know why? Because I can perceive your inner candle glowing. And all of a sudden they realize, see, there's an elderly old guy there, and he's talking about the Force. The reason is the old people have disconnected and they can't feel it, let alone see it.
Well, I agree with that, and this is what the indoctrination and the control mechanism is for, is to keep that candle suppressed. They do everything they can imagine, everything you can imagine, to suppress our natural, effervescent vitality and love of God and love of man and wonderment and fulfillment. They suppress it in every level of our lives now, from cradle to grave. And if you are not on the defensive, if you are not living a life of self-defense, it gets you. And gradually, you think, oh, there's nothing to worry about. That's a fool talking. we're in a very dangerous environment. You have to be protecting your candle. You have to be protecting your creeper like a seedling. You have to be protecting it all the time because it's your heart. It's yourself. It's your consciousness. It's your being part and parcel of God, part and parcel with everybody else. If you aren't protecting that, it can be suppressed to the point you can hardly perceive it.
Well, that's right. And then what do? They turn to booze. I mean, I know...
Well, of course they turn to artificial methods that help them either remove it or suffer through it better.
That's right. And they'll drink spirits because that's about the closest they get to it. And
well, but that's all controlled, too. They're only allowing certain types of medication, let's call it, or intoxication, let's call it, or drugs or herbs. They're only allowing certain ones to the people. They're suppressing. I mean, we've now seen an amazing resurgence in the use of cannabis and cannabis oils for dozens of mental and physical problems. But in the 30s, it was totally, totally, totally demonized and suppressed because they wanted to get the pharmaceutical industry up and running and controlling everything. And so they suppressed this natural herb that is God-given, meant to help with certain types of mental and physical problems.
I hear you. I mean, I got from Germany just recently from some professors that John D. Rockefeller and his son David Rockefeller, who just died about a year ago at 104 years of age, they totally focused on homeopathy. That was their medication or medicine of choice because they knew that all the drugs that they were producing for all their gigantic big pharma was just essentially to depress people and
poison.
Thank you.
It's poison and suppression medicines. That's all they are. They poison the natural abilities in the body, and they suppress the natural abilities of the mind and consciousness. That's all they are. And we're right back to the same thing. Oh, they're attacking the humans and suppressing them in any way they can design. And they got so many kids on drugs. Kids on drugs? I mean, in my experience as a schoolboy, nobody was on any kind of drug unless you were sick and you took 5 pills or 10 pills and you got back on your feet and off you went again. It was a medication repair situation, but nobody had any drugs that they took regularly for anything.
Yeah, well, this is true, and I agree with you. I agree with you totally. So, Roy, with this awakening of people to be able to start to consciously make choices that's going to benefit themselves, their loved ones, their family, their community, and their town or city, what need we do?
Well, I think one of the first things you have to do is you have to make sure your definition of you is real. You have to understand you. A little bit of self-realization has to take place so that you can reform your foundation such that any attempt you take or any action you take or any place you feel your efforts would be appreciated, you'll be attacked and it won't destabilize you. You've got to get your own mental perspective clear and solid first. Then you'll be able to suffer the slings and arrows of all the nonsense and the liars and the deceivers and the trolls, etc., etc., and you'll be able to withstand that so you can continue and actually make a positive influence. Now, everybody has different abilities and everybody has different propensities, and we should use them wholeheartedly to make our contribution. It kind of guides where we can be effective. But you got to get back to the basics of it. We, as eternal living entities, part and parcel of God, have a relationship with God and a relationship with others on the eternal platform. And from that position, we are all sharing the same concepts of suffering and enjoyment, of duty and responsibility. Then you can step down to one level and go, how do I reflect that correctly, honestly, without duplicity or deviation? And do a little bit of analysis of the needs. There's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's the characteristics that are shared between all the other species and man. But man, he has hands, and he has discretionary intelligence. We can talk about something that's not within our sense perception because we have contemplative abilities. So we have to see those extras, how I use my hands, how I use my contemplative intelligence, needs to be controlled and looked at it. So that I then use those because the other propensities, everybody already has them and they use or misuse them. So the guidance is very important. We're like a headless chicken as a society. Everybody is Indians and no chief. That's what society is, and they do it constantly. They take away the chiefs. You get someone who rises up against them, they assassinate them. Whether they're a good person, a village leader, or a president of a nation, they get rid of them so that we stay headless chickens. But we can come back from that by just looking at the basics of it. We're eternal living entities in temporary bodies. We have an eternal duty aside from the temporary ones that we accept and we focus on and we live and die. So this is a spiritual perspective has to dominate over the material perspective. And then we're going to get stability because the spiritual perspective is on the eternal platform and the material perspective is on the temporary platform. And eternal is superior to temporary in every decision, in every experience.
This is so true. Thank you, Roy. Yeah, this is fantastic because we need some, shall we say, some fundamentals for people so that they can start to move forward, move inward, and make that connection. Like we are a conduit between heaven and earth.
Yes.
As humans. And I like to say that...
Well, we're divine beings. God is a divine being. He is all good and all divine. If we are part and parcel of God, minute quantity, but still part and parcel with the same qualities, we are divine too. Well, what makes me act that I'm not divine? The body. I'm in a body, and the body is trained, the body is influenced, the body is constructed of imperfect elements and concepts. So if I reestablish my relationship on the eternal platform and know that if I don't succumb to the bodily conception of life, if I retain the spiritual conception of life, I'm already divine. I don't have to learn it. I have to just expose it. I have to free it from the constraints that the body's causing.
Yeah, so true. I mean...
Everybody is a good being. Everybody is wonderful. If you can see... They're just covered with bodies and experiences and training that's improper on purpose to distract us and to destroy us and to depopulate us. If they see that, then they can go, I'm not going to fall for that anymore. And their consciousness is in the defensive mode. And then they have peace within because they know I'm divine by construction.
Very good, Roy. Yes, well, the story is there's 7.7 billion souls inhabiting bodies on this planet. Now, where do souls come from? Of course they're from the divine.
Well, wait a minute. I see more than that. That's just the human species. All of the animals, all of the insects, all of the fish, all of the beasts, all of the birds, all of the trees, they are all divine sparks, parts and parcels too. They have just very, very different bodies.
So true.
But the souls are of the same divine nature. So this planet is actually congested with spirit souls just like you and I who want to do right, who want to be divine, who want to experience and enjoy a healthy life and experience, and they're just in different bodies that is limiting them. So we must... live with compassion toward all things and all beings.
Thank you, because there's a Latin word called anima mundi. It's according to several systems of thought, an intrinsic connection between all living things on our planet, which relates to our world in much the same way as the soul is connected to the human body.
The soul gets to ride in a body, human and all the other species.
Yes, and so...
So you have to have compassion. That dog is just like you as a spirit soul. The tree is just like you as a spirit soul, the blade of grass, but the body is the restriction.
That's right. Well, the enemy mundi is the world soul, you see. And so,
well, there's a world soul in that sense. If you combine you and me and all the other living entities that you can find, it does not make God.
I know, but it's all an extension of God.
Yes, but he is still independent as a being, too. The point being is that all these different parts and parcels are going through what they're going through because he gives everybody free will.
That's the big one. That most probably is the most important thing for people to realize, that we have got this free will, that we can actually make choices, and we need to be able to make choices that are pro-life, pro-existence, pro-our family, pro-all biota, pro-the planet, because at the moment we're at a major critical turning point, and this is where we're at.
Yes, the human society is at the point they must wake up to be their divinity that they are by construction, and not allow this artificial, demonic, greedy, selfish, angry, envious mentality to be adopted as normal. It is not normal, it's artificial. Normal is loving, compassionate, honest, caring, selfless.
Roy,
that's normal.
Roy, this is fantastic. It's a wonderful normal for me. I want to say thank you very much for coming and sharing this morning, because we want to be able to have the human species burst into the light of their own true selves.
Most definitely. And it's there. It's inherently in everyone. It's only artificially suppressed. So the game is how to uncover this artificial thing, how to get it off of us, how to get rid of these perspectives. And this is what good association is about. We're supposed to meet a man on the street and tell him our truth, and tell him our soul, and tell him our knowledge and realizations, so that he's encouraged.
Excellent. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Roy. We're out of time. So, Roy, this is wonderful, wonderful. I'm so glad that you came, and I look forward to furthering this conversation in the future.
Yeah. Well, anytime, Doug, you know that.
Okay.
Well, we always have great conversations, Tim. I always enjoy listening and talking with you. It's wonderful. I always enjoy it. That's why I said to you, anytime you want me on the show, just call.
Yeah, well, you're fantastic. You just bring it through straight away. Cheers, brother, and I'll be in touch.
Okay. Have a very good day. Have a very good life. Just don't let your guard down.
That's the truth. Too right.
Thank you, Guy. All the best to you. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.
That was Roy Harlow of rushfm.co.nz. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.7 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Mueller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
in the spirit of Aroha. Wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere ura.